So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to Malachi 3 again. We're going over the truth about tithing. And I have to admit, this one today is pretty powerful. I've never seen it this way that the Lord showed me this week. While you're turning there, just a reminder, next Sunday is our Mission Sunday. I'm super excited. We have some big dreams that we have, a couple of our missions groups that we give to, that they have, or prayer list things that are on there. And we were blessed last year. Above the normal pledges, we got a large missions pledge that was given to our church. And so we've been holding on to it, not out of fear that we won't have enough for missionaries from the future, but just waiting for the Lord to show us. And so I can't wait to tell you next week two big things that we get to be a part of. And it's so exciting, so exciting. Okay, I'm just going to hold on to it. It's the big finale next week. So don't want to miss it. Be here so that you can hear where this extra missions is going toward. And just be praying again about what God has laid on your heart to give. And I don't know about you guys, but when I pray for our future, I'm always praying, you know, for the right house to be in and blessed to be a blessing. But one of the things that I'm praying for is a certain amount of our income to go toward missions, just a percentage. And I'm super excited because we're a third of the way there. And so that was super exciting for us as a family that we were able to obtain a third of my goal. So praise the Lord for his faithfulness. I believe when the Lord puts a number on your heart, he supplies that. He's giving you the faith to believe, maybe for something that's maybe, for us, it was a little bit beyond what we could normally give, but we felt like that was the number, and we made it. So praise God for his faithfulness to bring in the income, right? And our job is to be faithful with what we do with that income when it comes in. And so I'm super excited. We had a pledge amount, and it was way over our pledge what we got. Not even counting the extra missions that we got. Our actual pledges, we got way more than we pledged. So it's amazing what God is doing. And our missionaries are so grateful. I got a call from one of the CEOs of Star of Hope this last week, and she just was sharing her heart, and she said, you know, she said, I can't tell you what your gifts do for Ara and their family. And she said, especially in the midst of everything that's going on with the pandemic, Romania was hit very hard, and so they've had to have a lot of restrictions. Their schools have been able, or their resources centers have been able to open up. And so that's a praise the Lord. And she said what was really awesome was that a lot of the things we'd already given, the cows, the goats, the chickens, the garden stuff, they flourished over this last year. And she said it's been amazing to see these villages actually self-sustaining. They're you know, able to share what they have with each other. So praise God. Our gift just keeps giving and giving and giving and going and going and going. Because when we give to the Lord, he's faithful. He takes care of his seed. Amen? Amen. So be praying about what you want to pledge for next week. And let's go ahead and look at Malachi 3. And I'm going to start at verse 8 again. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, and there will not be room enough to receive it. Somebody say amen. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And we talked about that's our income. He's going to rebuke the devourer when he tries to come against our income, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, or that your fruit will not drop from the vine before its time, is what another translation says the Lord of hosts. And we talked about last week that the Lord is protecting even your future harvest. Even the ones we haven't gotten to yet, he's protecting. Now, verse 12, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I want to read that again. And all the nations will call you blessed. blessed. And all of a sudden it was like, I was like, Lord, I understand what that verse means, but why did you say it the way that you did? All the nations will call you blessed. Something happened when they brought their tithes and offerings to the storehouse. They had a change in their image. Now, a lot of times we forget, where is this along the lines of history? And this is when Israel had denied God, turned their back on God, and they had been led away captives. What were they known as? Captives. They were slaves. They were under bondage. They were held captive in a land not their own. And he says, when you bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, one of the blessings is going to be all the nations, not some of the nations, not part of the nations, but all the nations will call you blessed. All of a sudden, the idea of looking at this group of people is not, oh, slave. They're in bondage, held captive. No, the nation, something powerful happened. So when the nations around looked at them, they changed what they called them. They're now calling them, look at that, they are blessed. I don't know about you, but sign me up. When we give our tithes and offerings, we are no longer called captives. We are no longer called slaves. We are no longer called bondage. What does that mean? That means the weight and the things of the world are no longer on our lives. We are not held captive by our debt. We are not held prisoner by lack of finance. We are no longer looked at and people say, oh, look at that poor little church. No. People don't look at us anymore and say, well, look at that poor little family. No, they're supposed to look at us when we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and they're supposed to look at our families and go, they are blessed. Hallelujah, that is so exciting. When you see, and who is saying this? Again, it's important to realize these aren't just words on the page. This is coming from the Lord of hosts, and he's telling you today, when you bring your tithes and offerings into the house of God, he is going to change your image. People are going to not look at you anymore and see poor, victim, helpless, homeless, destroyed, overtaken, ruined, lacking. No, he's going to change that. So in the eyes of the nations around us, how many people know the United States is filled with nations, right? There are nations out there, but there are nations inside this nation. So you have people all around you that are probably from different nations, even your friends, people you know at work. What are they saying about you? You know what they should be saying? When they hear your testimonies of what God is doing in your life, this should be what they say. Have you heard about what happened to so-and-so? They are so blessed. Why is that important for our image to change? Because who wants to join something where the people are all poor? Sign me up, right? No, no. That's not going to make us stand out. It's going to make us, people want to distance themselves. They don't want to be a part of that, right? When there's someone being blessed, it sparks people's attention. Hey, how can you make all these changes around your house? How can you can do all these things all of a sudden? Because I'm a tither and I'm a giver and the Lord blesses me. I'm not afraid to tell that to people anymore. They're like, wow, you're so blessed. Yes, let me tell you. It's tithing. I give to the Lord. Oh, well, you know, that God's just trying to get. No, no, my God doesn't do that. My God wants to get stuff to me, so therefore I tithe so that I can be blessed to be a blessing. Started this new thing when I go through even the fast food lines, that I give a tip to the person at the window. And you notice, they're floored. They're floored. And sometimes when there's, you know, there's like, you know, 20 people in there or 10 people in there, whatever the size of a shop, I'll give a bigger one and say, hey, everybody, you know, grab a taco or grab a Sonic on me. They're like, what? I had one time the manager came to the window. She's like, the girl said that you gave us this. I'm like, yeah, it's tip for everybody. Oh, well, thank you. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. So when people around look at our lives, they should say, wow, they are so blessed in their lives. And again, they're not going to know if you're blessed if you're not sharing what God is doing in your life. Amen? I've told you before, we've had a list of things that we wanted to do around our house this year. I am so excited. We already got through 11. Big ones. They're all done. Paid in full. Not sitting on a credit card somewhere. They're just done. We have to sit down and renumber the next 10. Amen? Blessed to be a blessing. And we've been able to give more this year than we've ever been able to give before. Blessed to be a blessing. I want the Heavenly Father to look down at our church and go, yeah, blessed. Right there, blessed. Our images change because we are tithers and givers. Amen? I don't know about you, but what an exciting thing to hear that the Lord wants to change the image in our lives from all the things that the world used to call us to blessed. Amen. Grab your tithes and offering. Father, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness, in our lives, God. And as we bring all of our tithes into the storehouse, God, we know you are faithful to your word. And we just praise you and we give you all the glory today, Father. Bless every seed that is sown, Father. Give us wisdom for what to do with our finances, Lord. Show us, guide us, direct us, instruct us, Lord, so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. And Father, I just praise you as people are getting ready to make their pledges for this next year for missions. Father, I pray that you would stretch us. That you would help us to dream big dreams, God. That we would be able to see our missionaries taken to a whole new level in you, Father. That they're going to be able to check off their lists, Father, because you've provided more than enough. We just give you all the praise and the glory for a blessed congregation. That when people hear about us or see us, that's what they're going to see. Blessed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving nets and let's make a statement of faith. Just say, I believe.
I receive
the blessing of God on my finances. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, supernatural debt cancellation, promotions, raises, businesses, ministries, the blessing of God in every area of my life. Salvation to loved ones, a church built, furnished, full and free, homes built, furnished, full and free. And we praise you in advance. Vehicles, education, college tuition. Oh, we praise you, God. Jobs and training, witty ideas and inventions. Like Oral Roberts would say, ideas, concepts, and insights. And we praise you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I am blessed to be a blessing.
I am blessed
in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God's motivation for our, how do they say it? My motivation for accumulation is distribution. Amen. The church is a distribution center of the blessing of God. Amen. That's a good reason to be in church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. I think we can go ahead and dismiss the kids this morning. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen and amen. And just a word on kind of the COVID regulations and so forth. Somebody say, praise God, stuff is changing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even the traffic signs out there today didn't say anything about masking and vaxxing. They said, you know, basically keep your loads tied down while you're on the freeway, all right? That's what it's, so praise the Lord, right? But, I mean, I went into a Walmart the other day and realized people are not wearing masks in Walmart. And the lady at the, you know, they welcome you when you come in, she wasn't wearing a mask. And I was like, hey, enlighten me. Can I take this off? And she's like, well, it's the honor system, okay? You know, they're saying if you've had your vax, then you can unmask. So we're, but for churches and schools and things like that, they're still asking us to continue. I heard the magic number of June 30th, maybe with Governor Inslee. So we're just gonna maintain the course. Amen. But somebody say, God is healing. Amen. He is the healer. COVID has no power in our lives, but we're going to continue to honor our leadership and do what they're asking us to do for the interim. But I can tell you this, as soon as I talked to Pastor Shelley this week, I was like, honey, I just went to a Walmart and it was optional. I declare this week, Pastor Shelley, it is optional. And she said, well, the governor says it's not optional. So, amen. So we're just going to keep a good attitude, keep rolling. And as soon as it becomes an optional thing, it's going to become optional. And you can have a burning ceremony if you want with your masks. But praise the Lord. But I can tell you this, this church will never be a place where we want to see your health record card. Prove to me before you come in these doors that you've been vaxxed. I will never ask you that. Never. Never. Amen? This is the United States of America. You have the right to choose. Amen? And I had in my day job during the week, you know, people are asking you right to your face. Before you do my pest control service, have you had your vaccination? This one, you know, and my go-to answer now is, well, ma'am, that is a personal question. My personal health is a personal thing. But if it makes you feel better, I'll wear a mask. Somebody go, amen. It's nobody's business. I heard there's a fast food chain in town that's giving a free item every day if you show them your card. It's hilarious to me. If you eat what they give you every day, you're going to get sick. It's just like, you know, we're not going to become a socialist communist nation, right? Show us your card or you cannot, you know, and it's just, I'm not going to do that. Amen? We're not going to be asking people at the door, come to church as long as you've been vaccinated. No. Somebody say no. Now, we're not anti-vaccination either, right? It's up to you. Amen? It's up to you. Somebody say, it's up to me. But to tell everybody, your children, everyone in the whole world needs to get vaccinated. That's just laughable. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this message today, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing on. Actually, this is likely the conclusion of the Good Fight of Faith series. This is part 8 today. And I'll tell you what, I could go on with this forever, but the Lord's got some new stuff for us to be getting into. But our foundation text is 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, and it says this, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the fight is on, and the fight has been won. Jesus won the fight. Amen? But yet there's scriptures like this in 1 Timothy after the resurrection, after Jesus ascended, after he baptized us in the Holy Ghost, that tell us, fight the good fight of faith. Amen? So we're talking about, amen, and a couple of definitions. I don't have, maybe I do. I think I do. Yes. The main definition of faith that we're focusing on this year is conviction of the truthfulness of God. Amen? We've got to be real good at deciphering what's true and what's lie. Because there are a lot of lies out there. And I've heard it said in the bank industry, the finance industry, that the way they decipher if a $100 bill is the real thing is not by examining the counterfeit. They examine the real article. Somebody hold your Bible up and say, "This is the real article." Know it well. Know Jesus very well. And that way we will not fall for lies. Because the devil is very deceptive. He's very subtle. He's an angel of light. Amen? And he'll come with crafty, witty things that tug at your heart, that tug at your flesh, that tug at your mental capacity. But he is a liar, church. He'll take something as holy as the rainbow that God set in the sky as a reminder that he will never destroy the earth again with a flood and his covenant of grace and mercy, and he will take something as holy and wonderful as the rainbow and pervert it and make it sound so sweet, sugarcoat it, make it sound so right, and yet it is so wrong. Somebody say amen. Glory to God forevermore. So we keep our eyes on what is true. We don't hate people, but we hate lies. Hatred is a biblical value. Because God hates, let me just say it again, hates sin. Because sin kills and sends people to hell forever. And he doesn't want anybody, let me say it again, doesn't want anybody to go to hell forever, to be separated eternally from God in an eternal lake of fire that was created for the devil. Amen? People go there by choice. God isn't sending them there. It's because they rejected the vaccination. Now let me talk about the vaccination. This is a vaccination everyone should get. This is the Holy Ghost right here. This is a vaccination everyone in the whole world should really get. It's called a vaccination from sin. And the only vaccination for that, you tasted of it this morning, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life is the only vaccination of sin. And the angels of God know who's got their card. The angels of God know who belongs to Jesus and who does not. It's called who are the sheep and who are the goats. Amen? Any sheep in the house right here? Any sheep? Amen? Jesus is Lord of your life? Just say amen. Are y'all awake this morning? You getting enough oxygen behind the mask? Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm vaccinated. I'm eternally vaccinated from the sin problem. And I have my reservation in an eternal heaven. Heaven is my home. After I'm done with this life, I'm going on to a better place. Don't you know heaven is a better place? A better place. Amen. Maybe someone that's listening right now needs to get vaccinated. You're listening online. I know everybody in this room is born again. Let's pray together. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I receive forgiveness of every sin. And I thank you, Lord, for your blood that cleanses me of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, that I'm saved, that I'm born again and on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Glory to God forevermore. Well, we've been talking about this fight of faith, church. Amen? And I'm going to read you this verse because this was sort of another foundational text. John 10:10 says this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Amen? So Satan is the thief. He's the thief. Somebody say, he's the thief. Right up to this past election, he stole an election. Yes, your pastor said it. He stole an election. He did. And he's stealing people's health, and he's stealing people's wealth, and he's stealing people's families, and he's stealing people's stuff, right? But number one, the first thing he wants to steal is the word of God from our hearts, right? And we talked about ignorance, that we've been redeemed from ignorance, and this fight of faiths, one of the would-be challengers is ignorance of the word of God, right? And he wants to come in and steal the word so he can kill the family. We talked about that last week. And then he can destroy a nation. That's where we are today. That's what we're looking at right now. So Satan has come to steal the word so he can kill the family, and then he can destroy a nation. Don't you know Satan is the ultimate hater? But he is. I was outside picking up trash along the front of the building this morning. Some people just throw cigarette butts and garbage and stuff. You know, this is a multi-use property, right? And I saw flies everywhere. And I just started reminding the devil, devil, the only thing you're the Lord of is the flies. You are Lord of the flies. Lord of nothing. Lord of the trash. Amen? But he's come to steal the word so he can kill the family, and then he can destroy a nation. Well, that is a would-be challenger. Somebody say, that's a would-be challenger when it comes to faith in God. Well, just a few people will stand up and have faith in God. It will turn not just the family, it'll turn a nation around. And I found this picture last night. History is not my number one thing, okay? I can improve. I would encourage you all on American history. One of the best places to go is wallbuilders.com. David Barton, tremendous believer, historian. The school systems in a lot of cases are asking people, kids, to question history. Well, I will say this, as a pastor, you should question the school. Don't accept, and they'll say, don't accept what you know about history. I will say, don't accept what they tell you about it. Go study it for yourself. Look at the actual documents. Now, our founding fathers were not perfect people. Are you? Somebody say no, right? But there was some awesome, amazing, wonderful, tremendous things God did through this nation that the devil is trying to steal and erase from the books. He's a liar, church. Amen? But I didn't realize they had photography in this era. I pulled this up online, and I'm like, Lacey and Luke are up. I'm like, is this an actual picture of Abraham Lincoln? I thought maybe it's a movie set. Maybe it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's him. And he's there with some of the guys from the Union Army. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you can look it up, just search it out online. But it's an amazing thing that God did through this man and through men like that that wanted to get rid of slavery, right? But I'm telling you, we are in the midst, during this Civil War period here, we are in the midst of a civil war in this nation, a civil war of morality, a civil war of beliefs, where it has never in history been so clear one side or the other. In fact, it's so clear that one of them is called, not by accident, but by, I believe, divine appointment, one is called the left. Because if they do not change, they will be left. And one is called right, not because some chance, but because they're more right. They're more with this. One of them, their mascot is the jackass. Somebody say, don't be that. Don't be stiff-necked. Amen? Don't call darkness light and light darkness. Don't call truth lie and lie truth. Don't call wrong right and right wrong. These things are absolutely a stench in the nostrils of God. Amen? Glory to God. But what a beautiful picture of an amazing man of God called for just as a time as this. And I don't know a ton of the background on our president there, but I'll bet he was just, I don't know, maybe you guys know, a farmer or something? Logger? Yeah. And just got stirred up. Just got stirred up. Thank you, Lacey. Did Washington State teach you that, by the way? I'm just kidding. God bless Lacey. My kids are such great students. But they know the difference between what's true and what's not true. Amen? God is so good. But here's a man who just got stirred up and passionate about standing up for what's right, standing up for his nation, standing up for his foundation, his mother taught him, of the Word of God. Amen? Well, I want to read to you some, because, you know, faith's would-be challenger of destroying a nation, Satan's plan is to destroy the United States of America. And he's trying pretty hard, and he has been for quite some time. But look at, I have some presidential quotes in here. Some of our great presidents over the years. George Washington said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." Let me say it again. George Washington said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." Amen? But there are many who would say, get rid of God, get rid of the Bible. Somebody say, that's a good way to destroy a nation. Amen, right? Ronald Reagan said this, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Somebody say, remember. Remember God's word. Remember our Christian roots. Remember our biblical foundation. Remember. Somebody say, remember. Amen. He even said this, another quote from President Reagan was something to the effect of, "If Congress can start the day in a prayer, schools ought to too." Well, I don't know if Congress still starts their day in a prayer. Maybe to whoever they choose to pray to or whatever, but amen. Calvin Coolidge said it this way, "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Somebody say amen. Faith in the teachings of the Bible should be universal in our country, right? Amen. The foundation of our nation. Thomas Jefferson said this, and there's people who would say Thomas Jefferson was not a believer. Well, look at what he said. "The reason that Christianity is the best friend of government is because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart." Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. "The reason that Christianity is the best friend of government is because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart." Somebody say that's Jesus. That's the Bible. Amen. And I want to look at a couple of facts here as we're honoring, you know, Memorial Day today. In our nation's history, approximately 2,223,000. I'm not sure if I even wrote that down right, but it's over 2 million soldiers have given their lives, were killed in battle in the history of our nation. Amen. And so I just want to take a moment and just honor them right now. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for all the soldiers that gave their lives in battle for the freedoms, God, that we share and enjoy as a nation, God. Lord, I pray that the blood that they shed will not be in vain, Father God, that the Constitution that they gave their lives for, God, will be upheld, that righteousness and truth will be upheld, Father God, and that their blood would not be spilt in vain, God, that you would comfort, Lord, those, even of the most recent lives lost, God, comfort families in Jesus' name and give them great peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. So many lives were given, even in the Gulf confrontation, you know, in the past couple decades, almost 5,000 troops. And that's a lot. Even one or two is a lot, but that's a big number. Amen. One of the ministers at Eagle Mountain this morning who served in the Air Force, he came up pretty emotional. He's not normally an emotional guy. And he was like, you know, I get a lot of people come and telling me, thank you for your service. And he says, my response now is, if you're thankful for our service, then be a good American. Uphold the Constitution. Vote that way. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. But in this civil war that we're in, of morality, of beliefs and values, look at the abortion numbers. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, I believe, it's estimated that 62 million abortions have occurred in the United States of America. Right? More than all the lives lost in any war, just since 1973. This is devilish. Amen? And it, to me, that is the most basic symptom of the devil trying to destroy a nation. Right there. Amen. If there are people in office that will not stand up for the most defenseless of Americans, then why would they stand up for you? Amen. If they won't even stand up for the most defenseless American in the womb, why do they care about a COVID virus? I mean, truly. No. They want to control your life. They want to run your life. Why do they get so down on people who are rich, right? Own big businesses because they want your money. Amen? And those people in this land should be voted out of office. And people that will do the right thing, voted in. And, you know, Miss Karen, I see you, and I did two memorial services for your family, your mother, you know, and I saw the pictures on the slideshow during, I think it was World War II, and she and many other Japanese people were put in concentration camps in this country because of their nationality. That was injustice. And then your brother, you would think this would make you angry and maybe defiant, but no. Karen's brother served in the Navy, right? Honored, just loved America, loved this nation, served in the Navy. They pulled astronauts out of the ocean. I saw some pictures again at his memorial. They pulled, the capsule came out of outer space and landed in the ocean. His ship rescued those guys out of the ocean. Now, here's a man who could have been a little bitter about some things our nation didn't do exactly right. But he loved our country. He saw the greater good, right? And probably compared to what's happening in that time of history, what was happening in Japan, he saw, man, I'm gonna fight for this country. Glory to God. And these are the types of people that we honor today. Amen. People of whatever nationality coming into this nation and serving and believing God. I met a man just the other day in a Starbucks line, outside, waiting outside. I was masked up, waiting, and he didn't have a mask. He's like, dude, why are you wearing a mask? I'm like, you're right. So I took my mask off. We're waiting in line. And he's a Russian man, or Ukrainian, I don't know which, but they have a beautiful church in Portland. We start talking, and he's like, Steve, this is the kind of stuff that we moved here to get away from. This kind of oppressive control of people. Somebody say hallelujah. This nation has a lot of good. Somebody say praise God. And God, Jesus is still, I believe, in command of this nation. And I'm about to show you. I got to move because we got some scriptures to get to. But 2 Chronicles 7:14, here's some scriptures to stand on as we're fighting this good fight of faith for your nation. Here's some good scriptures. I have a whole notebook full. Sometimes I'll see two or three at a time and write them down in my notebook. Oh, there's one to stand on for this nation. There's one to stand on for this nation. There's one to stand on for this nation. Hallelujah, right? And we need to be confessing these things. This yesterday, I was doing yard work and I had my iPhone in my pocket playing, and Hank Kuhneman was on the Victory Network. He's a prophet, pastor and a prophet. And he started sharing with how we need to start remembering to give the Holy Ghost room in our services to move, right? The power of God. And I felt reconnected to the prophetic ministry. Because, you know, during this election, I felt kind of offended at it. Because things we were believing God for didn't seem to come to pass. The opposite. The devil stole some things, right? And the Lord reminded me while I was listening to Brother Hank, hey, Steve, listen. All the prophets in this book, even if it looked like the opposite was happening, they just kept saying it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, you name them. They just kept saying the word, the word, the word, the word, no matter what was happening or not happening. And oh, it reconnected me to just, you know what? I'm going to keep saying these words about our nation, no matter who's in the house, who's in the White House, amen? Praise the Lord. But here's a good one to start with. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Somebody say hallelujah. Now that's a great promise of God for your land, your nation, your community. If we choose to live for God and repent of our sins and turn to Jesus and pray, he will move in our land. I believe there's more than one or two or three or four or 10 people in this nation that believe this and are actively doing this, right? Psalm 119:29. I called our nation's capital this past week, or maybe it might have been the week before, just to say, hey, our two senators and Jamie Herrera Butler left them voicemails about, hey, please vote no on H1 and H5 because they are anti-faith, anti-free speech, and anti-integrity of the election process. Please vote no on H1 and H5. I got right through to the Democratic senators, but when I got to Jamie Herrera Butler, Republican, Clark County. I'm sure this is coincidence, but I had the number on the phone. First of all, they called her Butler. How hard is it to say Butler? Jamie Herrera Butler, press 1. To leave a message for Jamie Herrera Butler, press 1 or say 1. I pressed 1. I'm sorry, we didn't quite get that. Could you press or say 1? Press 1. I'm sorry, we didn't quite get that. Press or say 1. 1. I'm sorry, it seems like we're having a problem. We'll transfer you to our operator. Transfer me to the operator. She sent me over there, dead silence. It's like 4 times to get through, and I left, finally got to her voicemail, left her a message. Thank you for your service. Please vote no on H1 and H5 because they are anti-freedom of speech in the church and anti-integrity of the election process. Thank you, ma'am. Purely coincidental, I'm sure. Amen? But kind of humorous, right? The devil wants to destroy a nation. Somebody say, no. No, this is God's nation. Hallelujah. These kind of pictures remind us. That seems like a long time ago to us, but to God, that's a few minutes ago, right? Amen? And we are in the midst of a moral civil war right now. Praise the Lord. And it's interesting that they were called the Union. Somebody say Union. We can't do any of this stuff, see God move in our nation, if we are not in union with Him. Not in union with people that have all these weird left agendas. Union with God. Amen? And we vote. Hallelujah, right? And we pray. Psalm 119:29 says this. Now listen, when I'm saying these, we're praying these on behalf of our nation, okay? It says this, remove from me the way of lying. Hallelujah. Lord, remove from our nation the way of lying. Don't you know the devil is the father of lies? Amen? Somebody say, remove from our nation, Lord, the way of lying. It also reminds me personally to not be in the habit of lying to people. And acting like, oh, that's okay. No, it ain't okay. Somebody say, I'm about the truth. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 175 says this. And again, on behalf of our nation. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. Amen? Jesus is in the business of putting good judges in place of authority. Somebody say, Lord, let your judgments help us. If there's anything that ain't right in our nation, judge it, sir. Correct it, please. Amen? Psalm 140. We can do this. Psalm 140. The whole chapter is so good. Now again, on behalf of our nation, here we go. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Can we also say women? Somebody say, oh yeah, right? Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men and women. Preserve me from violent men and women who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. We're talking on behalf of our nation. Right? Preserve me from the violent men and women who have purpose to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Selah. Verse 6, I said to the Lord, you are my God. Can you see that on behalf of our nation? The United States. I have said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head, sheltered, covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer, now that word slanderer, another translation says evil speaker. Does that bring anything to your mind? Let not an evil speaker, speaker of the house, be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Now, Exodus 15:7 says this. In the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rise against you. These are great things to confess over our nation. Amen. There are people that have risen up in our own land, that have risen up against our nation to destroy it. Luke 8:50 says this. I love this in terms of thinking it as our nation, right? When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. I hear that in terms of on behalf of our nation. You heard all these bad things, you heard all this bad stuff, right? Jesus heard it too, but he says, don't be afraid, only believe, and the U.S. will be made well. Can you see that? Somebody say, oh yeah, oh yeah, hallelujah. John chapter 11, we got to move here. This is the story of Lazarus. I want to equate our nation with Lazarus right now. Verse 4 says this, when Jesus heard that he said, the sickness is not unto death. These are great things to say about our nation, right? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Right? I felt this during that election. It's like, Lord, where were you? Things didn't happen as we were believing and feeling that they should happen in the Spirit. Amen. It almost seems like he didn't show up. Somebody say, it ain't over. It is not over. These things he said, verse 11, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And the election is over. Amen? Things have gone to the left. Right? Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to him plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. It's been about 4 months now, right? Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, this crazy stuff hadn't have happened, right? But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Somebody say, the America that we know and love will rise again. Hallelujah. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. Somebody say, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Somebody say, yes, I believe this. Verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jump over to verse 37. Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Where was Jesus when all this stuff went south? Come on, right? I had to repent of that yesterday. The Lord reminded me, keep saying what I tell you to say. Even if no one seems to be listening, keep saying what I tell you to say, right? Verse 38, Jesus again said, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Somebody say it looked like it was over, right? Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Somebody say, by this time there's a stench. 4 months into this thing, it stinks, man. Right? Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. And because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out. Somebody say he came out, right? Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Somebody say, devil, loose the United States of America and let it go. Doesn't belong to you, Mr. Devil. Amen? Glory to God. Well, we'll close with these last two verses and pray. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 30, verse 31 says this. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Do you see that on behalf of our nation today? You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Hallelujah. Somebody say, turn it to praise. Turn it to praise. No matter what the enemy is saying, turn it to praise. Lift Jesus. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Hallelujah. There's an old song my mom used to sing. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. Somebody say, lift Jesus higher. Then whatever doubt, whatever thing the enemy is trying to throw at us, just say, oh yeah, devil, all you are is Lord of the flies. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10, as we close, says this. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. Now look, now the word that jumped out in this verse to me is the word us. If you abbreviate us, U.S. United States. Amen? Don't you love when the Holy Ghost gets involved and just turns stuff on like that? Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered the U.S. from so great a death and does deliver the U.S., in whom we trust. Somebody say, in God we trust. Amen? That he will still, somebody say, he will still deliver the U.S., deliver us. He will still deliver us. And I believe he is freezing and stilling the plans of the enemy for this nation. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord this morning. Just stand up on your feet and let's thank God for his plan. Lord, we thank you for your plan and your purpose for this country. We receive it done and complete. In Jesus' name, we receive that great plan of God for this nation. Take your hands off the United States, Satan. And we praise you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory be beshita lave meke nene. Glory be bashotone nene. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.